We might have been recording our voices the whole time talking about Pam Grier. That's okay. People need to hear about Pam Grier, right? It's all good. Hey, folks. Yeah, you're in.
Oh, I'm in? Yeah. All right. Okay.
Welcome to Geekin' News, the show where we F up a lot. I'm Jay.
I'm Casey Masterpiece.
And thanks. I'm sorry, we came in, a lot of stuff going on, and I'm actually importing the new original 7 CD as we speak. don't do that. That was frightening. And we talked about the original 7, but it's essentially Morse Day in the Time.
Pretty much.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
But Prince wouldn't let them call themselves that anymore, so now they are the original 7. So I'm looking forward to hopefully them touring. Would be awesome if they did.
Yeah, I just bought the CD, and you know what? If they come to town, going.
So I haven't heard it yet, but you really liked it.
I really like it. It's a fun album. It's one of those albums where you know the artist recording it really had a great time doing it.
The CD's called Condensate.
Yes.
So, I don't even know what to make of that.
They'll explain that during the CD. Well, that's skits.
Cool. Maybe I won't do it this week, but next week we'll play a track for our closing off of it.
Okay.
Since I'm importing it this week and everything. But so yeah, what's been going on, Casey?
Nothing much, just hanging and banging. You know, just doing my thing. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Oh, all right. All right. It's going to be an interesting week because our game for the week is going to be truth or crap, and you didn't prepare anything.
I could make stuff up.
And Geek Babe, it's your week.
Yes.
Okay. You got that.
I got
that. Of course you got that.
I got that. Our G-Bow.
Wouldn't miss that, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't miss the G-Bow.
All right, then.
Love my G-Bow.
And we're getting ready to head out here after the show. I'm going to go up to watch the UFC fight tonight at the local B-Dub, so that'll be fun.
You know it.
So let's go ahead and knock this bad boy out so we can do that.
All right.
Shall we? Why don't you kick things off with yo... Sorry, I'm stopping stuff. With yo for... And I don't even have the soundboard up tonight, so I can't annoy you all night.
All right.
Go ahead and kick off your first story. And I tell you what, I don't know about your stories this week, but I have two really fun stories. Well, one of them might be a little nerdy for even a lot of people out there, but I know you'll like it.
Okay, I'm down.
But go ahead and kick off with your first story, sir.
All right. High school geek wins $100,000
only $100,000. How ridiculous is that? I know what this story is. Go ahead and tell the folks at home, and this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
she deserves way more.
She'll probably get Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, Lord, if it's even half of what they're claiming. But go ahead and fill the folks at home, man.
Monte Vista High School senior Angela Zhang won...
Asian, of course.
Yeah, of course, right?
Smartest people in the world, apparently.
They are smart. They study.
Yeah.
Won Siemens annual high school science competition by creating a cancer-fighting nanoparticle.
She's 7...
17.
And she's fighting cancer. She deserves the Big Hair Bash Award.
No kidding. I actually have two Geek Babes of the Week. She's the first one.
She's
of this
cute.
Week.
Yeah. She's 17, though, so we can't be.
Yeah, she's not legal yet. The particle, the nanoparticle Zhang designed, improves on current treatments by injecting medicine inside the tumor cells without harming the actual healthy cells around the tumor. Around the cancer.
This is brilliant, man.
It's God. How the hell do you create that at 17?
I don't know, but if this is even half of what it sounds like it's going to be, this could be one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my lifetime.
I know, right? Zhang's motivation, of course, is for her science project came from her family. Both of Zhang's grandparents died of cancer while she was in the 7th grade.
I feel her there.
Yeah, and as you know, speaking as a person who lost a couple of friends from cancer this year alone, you know, God.
That's why we do what we do. Every year I do something. We did the Bear Care Bash a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I do a cancer walk or something almost every year because, like yourself, I lost my grandfather, one of our closest friends. He was 29 years old when he passed. My friend Stu, his mom passed away. It's a nasty thing.
Yeah, I lost an uncle to cancer. And
we just lost a friend we used to work with. You just lost another friend you worked with.
Yeah. God. So, Ms. Zhang, I want to carry your baby.
And apparently, from what I read, she's been working on it since she was 15 years old.
Amazing.
$100,000. She cured cancer, and they're giving her $100,000. Now, don't quote me on the cured cancer. She hasn't.
She's close. this or closer.
This, but the way it reads, if you read this article anywhere, it's cures cancer. They give her $100,000. It's not. She won a $100,000 prize. I'm sure she could make a fortune off this.
Oh yeah, I mean she's got. I'm sure universities are just opening their doors to her.
She can probably go anywhere she wants.
Pretty much
for free.
Yeah.
That's just letting me know the CD was done.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
I imported it into iTunes. That's awesome, though. I saw that story, too, and I actually considered doing it, and I'm glad I didn't because you picked it up, and that's good, so we still got to hear about it. Hey, KC.
Yes?
You don't happen to have an extra $250,000 lying around I can borrow, do you?
Hell no.
Cool, cool. See, the thing is, I really want to buy my own jetpack. Yeah. Tecnologia Aerospace Mexicana, don't ask me, will gladly sell you a custom-built jetpack, or as they call it, rocket belt, which is way more accurate, for $250,000. Sounds expensive, right? But consider what you get. Full flight training, so you actually know how to fly this thing, and enough fuel for 30 seconds of flight time.
Well, how far could 30 seconds get me?
Not very far.
Okay.
Jetpack International in Colorado can beat that deal, though. They'll give you the world's longest flying jetpack for $155,000. It actually goes 3 seconds longer than the one from TAM.
3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. 33 seconds. And they also will train you to fly it. Both fly using hydrogen peroxide fuel. And like the TAM, the Jetpack International will teach you to fly. And it's closer to home. It's Colorado versus Mexico.
And less dangerous.
Now, jetpacks, or rocket belt technology, again, way more accurate, was invented at Bell Labs back in 1953, nearly 60 years later. And that thing that they always kind of promised us, you know, we'd all be flying around on commercialized jetpacks one day.
Sweet.
Well, this is actually on the horizon. Jetpack International has made claim that by the end of the year, which is coming up, so if they meant 2011, you know, they will be releasing a true jetpack that actually burns jet fuel, not hydrogen peroxide. They say the flight time for this bad boy is a full 19 minutes. With that kind of time,
surprised.
Jetpack International founder says you aren't spending the whole damn flight trying to figure out where you're going to land. You've got a 30-second flight. You're going, where am I going to land? Where am I going to land? Where am I? That's the thing. A lot of people forget about that. That's why you have to take training because of wires and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know, you kind of slap your face like, wow, 19 minutes. 19 minutes on a jetpack is actually a pretty big deal.
I could imagine. I mean, while you're up there, it probably seemed like forever.
Yeah. Well, see, the reason that they say jetpacks is a misnomer is because they don't use jet fuel. They use hydrogen peroxide. So that's why they're rocket belts. But this one that...
So, Jay, are you saying that I can take some hydrogen peroxide, I can get over to a Walgreens for like 69 cents and, you know, put it into like some containers and create my own jetpack at home?
Absolutely.
Done and done.
I think you should look into doing that.
I think I should.
Coincidentally, on next week's show, I'm going to have a new host because KC is probably going to kill himself trying to fly his hydrogen peroxide jetpack belt.
Watch that shit work.
Watch. It works, dude. No, you've been up for 34 seconds. How high could you get in 34 seconds anyway?
Ask Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg.
That's pretty good. Yeah. You got me there. All right, so like we like to do on the show this time every week, it's time for KC to give us this week's Geek Babe of the Week.
All right, my Geek Babe of the Week.
I'm pulling my fade out.
Oh.
Okay.
My Geek Babe of the Week is Marissa Meyer, also known as the Cupcake Princess / Google Vice President of Search and User Experience.
Wow, her name comes up. Weird, though. She's the third name to come up on Google.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah, she looks like the chick who played Becky in this picture on Roseanne.
The first or second one?
The first one.
I see that, yeah.
Sarah Chalk was the second one. Sarah Chalk is...
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cute. Ooh. That's a nice picture. Mm. Yeah, baby. Is she Canadian? They're always Canadian.
It's weird, isn't it?
Well, tell us a little bit about Marissa.
Well, Marissa's...
goo girl. Goo girl.
But, well, Marissa, besides being, one of the first female employees at Google.
In that picture, she looks a lot like Barack Obama.
She kind of does.
It really was a picture of Barack. I forget. Audio. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, she's been working at Google for a while now and is the vice president of search and user experience, which basically means that she's pretty much responsible for your whole search and... If you want to search for, like, midget anything, she's responsible for doing the research on that.
Midget anything.
Yeah.
Well, now I am completely...
Chocolate midgets.
I am completely curious now.
Midget Monopoly.
Midget anything.
Let's see here.
Ask a guy who has had sex with a midget anything.
Twidget the midget anything for some... Okay.
Midget anything is funny. Book a midget. Midgetsforrent.com. Rent a midget today. Rent a midget.
I'll go to that site.
For rent.
I want to see how much it costs.
Midgetsforrent.com. Adopt a midget.
Oh, my God.
So you have decided to rent a midget. Great choice. These things are pretty cool. To book your midget, just call the phone number below. These little things may not be available in all areas, but they will travel for the right price. They fit easily in a suitcase. Before you call, please have dates ready that you will need your midget and know what they will need to do. Just like dogs, some midgets are easier to train than others, so we have to be sure to ship you the right midget for your needs.
Dance, midget, dance!
Also, some midgets become aggressive when they are tossed, so we need to know if they will be tossed through the air. Please read the disclaimer below before booking your midget. And there's a huge disclaimer, and I'm not going to read it, but this is the sickest thing I've ever heard.
Midgetsforrent.com.
It is the... They are the leader in midget rental, though. And the picture is them throwing a midget through the air.
Oh, that's sad and degrading.
Midget boxing. Midgets doing your dishes. We have the midget for you. Wow. Man. Why buy your kid a puppy when they can get a midget?
That's effed up. Man.
And all this.
Is that Mike in the background of that picture?
And all this because... You said if you were to Google midget anything, hey. And I did. Just showing you that you can have a fun night just Googling random shit.
Hey, just blame Marissa Meyer, our Geek Babe of the Week, for that. She's responsible.
Rent a midget. Midgets for rent. Wow. Disclaimer, we have nothing against little people. I'm not a midget, but I'm short.
I don't know. I'm kind of average size, but, you know.
Well, you are black.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
We don't have anything against midgets, but black people.
Oh, don't get me started.
Don't get me started. Oh, wow. All right. So this week's game is Truth or Crap.
And this should be interesting.
For the few, because you don't have any.
No, I don't.
He's going to be making his up on the spot.
This should be good.
So, for those of you who don't know the rules of the game, the way the game works is we tell three stories about ourselves. And the other person, and we've changed it up a little bit, so this might be really difficult for you. We tell the story, and the other person is allowed to ask three questions.
Yes, sir.
About the story.
Hoo-ah!
And then they have to decide whether the story we're telling is true.
Or crap.
Or complete BS. And there have been some interesting ones in the past.
Yes, there is.
Tonight's could be really interesting because Casey didn't come prepared. So
this should be good.
I'll go first.
Okay.
To help Casey have some time to decide. I once had oral sex in the bathroom.
With a midget?
No. When I worked at the gas station.
True.
you just want to go true. You don't want to ask any questions. You just
true.
Straight up want to say true.
Yeah.
It's false, man.
Oh.
I never had oral sex in the bathroom.
Anal sex?
Yes. No. I was offered oral sex, but let's just say she was a whole lot of rosy.
Ooh.
Yeah, big black chick. She had a thing for me, though.
Black chick likes her white chocolate. Yeah,
apparently. A little white chocolate. But no, I did not.
Wow. So,
your first thing you're going to make up here.
Okay.
Or tell a true story. I don't know.
All right. Once visited four countries in 1 hour.
Okay. How old were you?
I was about 13.
Okay. Was it, were you on like a school trip or?
No.
Did you buy souvenirs?
At one of the gift shops, yes. Actually, no, I take that back. We were in a special, big time market town in, let's see, one part of the country.
I'm going to say yes. True.
True. You got me.
True. See, I worry with you because you'll be like, nope, it was only three countries, which is. I think I knew that, though. I think you might have told me that once.
Yeah, it was while I was visiting my brother in Holland.
You were real quick to be like, no, actually, we were in like a marketplace, and I got the. But, you might just be that good at BSing. I don't know. Okay, you ready?
All right.
My second story. Tell me, Casey, is this truth or crap? I once held a man down with help from another guy until cops arrived at my buddy's apartment to get him.
Ooh. False.
Just, again, you're not going to ask any questions.
Okay.
That's no, okay.
I can ask questions. Do you want to ask questions?
Yeah, if you want to. It's up to you.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Just
want to make sure.
Okay. All right.
So.
Hi, Lee, sorry.
Was this at the studio where Stu lives?
No.
No? Okay.
Different friend.
Was this in Hamilton?
No. It was not in Hamilton.
Okay. It's Hamilton. Right?
It was a suburb of until recently, I didn't even know the name of where Mike lives, and I pick him up all the time.
Mm.
So it was
Amberley Village?
Yeah. Well, I know that now, but it was up. Towards that general, do you know where?
Okay,
I guess the folks at home might not. No, it wasn't at Amberley Village.
Okay, I was about to say because
no. All right,
go ahead.
I'm saying I didn't even know. I don't know all the areas what they're called up there, but I can tell you where it's at. It's over.
Was it on the east side or west side?
You know, if you're going up, folks at home are going to love this. If you're going up 75, as you reach that one spot, there's that Chevrolet dealership off to your left.
Okay,
a little past Procter & Gamble.
Oh, okay.
It's that. Whatever that area over there is called.
Oh.
Well, it's not. Well, I didn't think it was an overly bad area. Is that an overly bad area? At Procter & Gamble. Further up.
Like St. Bernard area?
Maybe. If that's St. Bernard, I don't know. That's a dog. So, maybe perhaps. Okay. Mm. So, anyway. Mm. No, it was not at Stu's and it was not in Hamilton.
Okay. That's tricking.
Okay.
Because that still goes around in Hamilton. I mean, it's Hamilton.
All right. I was born there. I think so.
You were born there?
For Hamilton.
Really?
A lot of people around here were. I lived in Fairfield, but I was born in Hamilton. Yeah.
Huh. I was born in a Jewish hospital. Yeah,
this is folks at home love this.
Yeah. Cincinnati banter. I'm going to say false.
It is false.
Okay.
Based off a small truth that I once had to...
That took place in Hamilton?
No. When I lived with Stu,
okay.
We had a big... New Year's Eve party, and this little dude, and I'm talking weighed a buck 25 wet, got wasted and just started tearing shit up. I mean, it was the craziest. I've never seen a drunk person act this way, and I'm still not completely convinced. And my brother, Adam, and another friend of ours actually had to hold the guy down.
Mm.
And they held him down for a while, and he started to calm down, and I came in the room, and I'm sober because I'm trying to maintain the party. And... they were like, are you all right, man? Are you going to be cool? He's like, I'm going to be cool. I'll be cool. So they're like, all right, we're going to let you go. They let him go. He spun around. I just happened to be walking in the room, jumped up, spun around, and punched me right in the face. I don't know why, because I hadn't even been in the room up to this point.
Jeez.
So they tackled him again. They're holding him down, and they got him pinned on the bed. I jumped up on the bed, kicked the dude in the head. I did. Walked in the other room, and I checked because he busted my lip. A few minutes later, they come in. They're like, you all right, man? I'm like, I'm good. They're like, good. I'd have done a lot more than just kick the dude. So anyway, that's loosely based, but yeah. Your second story, sir.
All right.
Tale.
Tall tale.
Tall tale.
While I was, hanging out with my brother one summer back in 91, I think, we almost got struck by lightning on top of the Eiffel Tower at Kings Island.
Okay. Is that your whole story?
Yes.
Which brother was it?
It was Bill, my second oldest brother.
It wasn't Maurice? Woo-hoo! Sorry, his name's Maurice.
No, actually, woo-hoo! Maurice was down on the ground, actually. He was... Woo-hoo!
Some people call him Maurice.
Woo-hoo! He really can't stand that.
Because he speaks of the made-up word, Papatus of Love.
He once tried to kill me after singing that.
You know, that's fine. But I used to know a guy named Mickey who hated Hey Mickey. And I'm like, dude, if I had a song like Jason, I would be all the time, right?
I'd
play it in my soundtrack. Car. Right. But I don't know your brother, so I'm sorry if he listens and he's mad at me for doing the Maurice woo-woo thing. It's just... But then, they proceed to make up a word. Papatus is not a real word.
He does like using the word papatus.
He likes making up words.
Yeah, I know.
Your brother does?
No, I'm just kidding.
He likes using the word papatus?
That's a cool word. Even though it's made up.
Okay, so was it raining?
Yes.
Thank you. Was it raining when you went up onto the Eiffel Tower?
Yes, we were stupid enough to go up there.
When you say you were almost struck by lightning... Do you mean the tower was almost struck by lightning?
Yes.
Well, what the hell was struck by lightning then?
Nearby stuff.
This could be true by default if you were just up in the Eiffel Tower and it was a thunderstorm.
It could be.
True.
Yes.
I mean, how do you almost get struck by lightning?
Well, the lightning came pretty close, but it... Apparently, it missed the Eiffel Tower for some odd reason.
It was like, no!
Yeah.
Not going to do it!
Apparently, Mother Nature had bad aim. I don't know. You're a third one?
It is a woman. Yeah. Sorry.
Dang, chicks. Besides curing cancer, I mean, they're good.
I got another one the other day. You know I love telling the joke, why can't Helen Keller drive? Because she's a woman.
There you go.
Why don't women need umbrellas?
Why?
Because it doesn't rain between the bedroom and the kitchen.
Oh.
I heard another one. And I love to tell these to women because they like to hit me, and it's fun. I'm a chauvinist. I'm not really, but it's fun to tell the jokes. Heard one the other day. Why have they never sent a woman to Mars? Because Mars doesn't need cleaning. My third tale, sir.
Yes.
I won second place in my school talent show when I was 10. By singing the song Elvira from the Oak Ridge Boys.
False.
Again, no questions. He's just going right for it. Is that your final answer? That's the worst. That is the worst Regis impression. It was sort of like Regis ran smack into Donald Trump. And...
I didn't hear the Donald there. I was hearing like more.
I
don't know.
Yeah, it's false. That's not true.
Okay.
How'd you know it was false?
I remember you were telling me about you were singing Elvira, but it wasn't during like a talent show.
No, never. I was too chicken shit to ever get up with a talent show. When I was a kid, I had a very deep voice. I actually lost some of the deepness when I went through puberty instead of gaining deepness.
Really?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
When I was a kid, we used to sing Elvira all the time, and I was much younger than 10, too, and I'd do the giddy up, bum, bop, bum. Yeah.
Wow.
It was interesting. So, no, I never did. All three of my stories were false today. What's your third tale?
Flipped off a bus full of school children.
That's true.
Yeah.
All three of your stories were true.
It's weird, isn't it?
I flipped off a bus full of school children. By that, isn't it? Like, fuck you, little kids. Sorry about that.
Well, they started it.
I apologize for the language. Oh, well. As long as you didn't let a bunch of school kids get to you, you're good. Oh, wow. That's truth or crap. You know, we had a comment and a strong like for the ask a white dude, ask a black dude.
Yes.
So I think maybe next week.
Yeah, let's
we'll do that.
That
again. That was fun.
It was fun.
You thought of it. Didn't you have another game idea that you thought up?
Oh, let's see. Like, would you? Like, would you do?
Did we do that? Yeah, we kind of converted it, and we just did a
Geek and News.
We did a would you rather.
It was in,
no, it was Geek and News. But we let the guys ask us would you rather questions.
Yeah, that's
instead
right.
Of would you?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of that game is just would you, and we just say would you do this?
Well, it was.
How does it work?
Basically, it's like would you have sex with a living former first lady?
Former first lady.
Former first lady.
Probably.
Which one?
Well, G-Dub's wife used to be pretty attractive, did she not?
She did, but the thing is about, you know, G-Dub's wife.
I don't know what she
looks
like anymore. No, hold up. Give me your thing is, but then I'll give you the thing is.
Okay. All right.
You go ahead first.
For me, she has too much of a motherly vibe. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. I would go for Nancy.
The question isn't, would it freak you out a little bit? It's like, would you do it?
Yeah, she's just
it's a first lady.
Yeah, but.
You'd be walking around like, I tapped that! I did a first lady!
In the Lincoln bedroom.
You'd be tempted to do G-Dub. Be like, I did the president. You said former, because Michelle Obama, you know.
Yeah.
We'll be there in a second. You know, I'm just saying. Mm. She's attractive. Which, you know, we got to wait until she's former.
Right.
Nancy Reagan, she doesn't give you a motherly vibe at all?
It's more grandmotherly.
Yeah, thank you. So that'll be fine. We'll do that.
All right.
We'll do that again. But then you got to explain yourself or gotcha. Your answer, whether it's yes or no. You still got to explain it. That's
of course, that's
idea.
Part of the fun.
All right. Last story for you, sir.
Stem cell race by NASCAR. Nice effect. Singing the national anthem, Blur the Cable Guy.
Ear nuts.
The world's first cellular race was held in France at the Institut de Recherche en Technologies at Sciences pour le Vivant. RIRTSV for short.
That's much shorter.
Yeah. The race consisted of several technologies. I'm sorry, several specimens of frozen stem cells from across the globe and placed into a micro racetrack. Before the event took place, each cell was thawed and injected with dye. The cells were then placed on a 400 micron racetrack. I don't know what a micron is, but let's go with that.
Very small.
That was coated with a natural substance called fibronectin to help the cells get traction. Fibronectin is also hamster sperm. But anyway, the winner of the race was a strain of bone marrow stem cells from Singapore, those Asians again, traveling at blinding speed of 5.2 microns per second, which is to you and me, Jason, 0.000204 inches per minute to the average human. That's fast.
I've been holding my tongue. Literally. Because the second you started this story, want to know what popped into my head?
What?
Scientists have way too much time on their hands. What's the freaking point? Who cares?
Meanwhile, there's
this 17-year-old girl is curing cancer, and you're seeing if bone marrow goes faster than freaking hamster semen. What the hell? As long as it was important.
Oh, God, yes, it was important, Jason.
Hey, Spin. Yes, Claude. Don't you want to see which one goes faster? Yeah. Call the Asians. See if they've got some bone marrow we can use. Yeah.
This took place in France, though.
We'll make it multicultural. We'll call the French. Oui,
oui. We are not doing anything important, so we'll just have a racetrack.
Do not call the Americans. They are stupid.
They are not allowed to participate.
Oh, they put ketchup on the French fries.
They stole our kisses. And our toast.
We gave them that lovely statue.
They turned it green.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome.
They don't know where that micron is.
Well, my last story is pretty flipping cool, in my opinion.
All right.
This got me kind of excited, probably just because it's kind of geeky about things like this. Mm. It's kind of gives me that kind of weird creep vibe that I kind of like. The Voyager 1 probe was launched into space back in 1977. 34 years ago, man.
Jeez.
34 years ago. It was one of two crafts designed and tasked with deep space exploration, and it has been scouring and learning about our solar system ever since. Well, on its quest to gather information and fulfill its destiny as a bad guy in its Star Trek movies.
Mm.
No, nothing. Beaker. No. No. Beaker, not as Trekkie. Anyway, the Voyager is venturing on. Currently 11 billion miles out from Earth, the Voyager 1 is about to leave our solar system.
Oh, I get it. All right. Sorry.
to me...
Did it go to Deep Space Nine?
Huh?
Did it go to Deep Space Nine?
No.
It was Voyager.
In an episode of Star Trek and the first Star Trek movie, there... It.
I was just thinking about.
They find a space probe called Vigor, and what? I can't believe I have to explain Star Trek. Anyway, what has happened is Vigor.
I can't believe I derailed you.
Vigor is a probe that has become sentient, and they find out that back in whatever year the Voyager probe disappeared, and it's actually the Voyager probe that has become like a sentient being. The AI has become, and it's like become a bad guy, and that's what they used for the first Star Trek movie as well. Just like Khan was a character from the show as well. Which, by the way, they've announced the bad guy for the new Star Trek movie is going to be played by Benicio del Toro, and most people think it's going to be Khan. But we know it's somebody from the olden TV. We just don't know who. So, anyway, to scientists and to myself, this is really exciting and a bit creepy. We may finally get a glimpse of what lies beyond the heliosphere. So this is a pretty big deal. There have been a lot of theories. Warning, science here, people. Scientists predict that the probe would hit a stagnation region. That's where the particles from our sun cease to blow outwards, allowing energy from interstellar space to begin to blow in. Like Megamaid. That was a Spaceballs reference. The probe sensors seem to be backing their hypothesis, and they're picking up readings that actually confirm this theory. The zone it's moving into, and I warn you, this gets really science geeky here for a second, is a mix of our solar system and energy from the star, from other stars moving about in a sort of celestial soup, right? It is unknown how large it is or how long it will take to travel through the zone. We do know, what we do know is that solar winds from the sun are no longer blowing around Voyager, indicating that things may get really exciting within a few months or maybe a year. So, tell you a little bit about Voyager probe in case you don't know. Voyager is powered by a nuclear energy source and transmits data back to Earth at a rate of 1.6 kilobytes per second. Now, keep in mind, this was 1977, so that's pretty damn good.
No.
It's not the fastest thing in the world, but it suits the needs.
It can't beat 5.2 microns.
Right. It can't go as fast as hamster semen, but... On average, scientists spend around 12 hours a day monitoring the telemetry from deep space and combing it to see if they can learn anything new. I just think it's really cool. We truly are seeking out new worlds and new civilizations, and we are boldly going where no man has gone before. If you really think about it, it's kind of a big deal.
Yes, it is. It's pretty cool.
The Voyager probe's been going for 34 years, and they really didn't know how... It's set to keep going until it just doesn't go anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way the Voyager probe is just launched, and it sends data back. But it's about to, I mean, that blows my, it's about to leave our solar system. And assuming that the data can still get, we're going to start getting data about another solar system.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
That's pretty freaking cool. And half the data, I won't know what the hell it means, but it's still pretty freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was pretty stoked about it. Outer space is one of those things that, okay, let's do a quick would you. Would you go to space if you could?
Am I going to go to like a certain planet or just float out in space?
It doesn't go up in freaking space, and I don't care, in the space shuttle. You can go up in the shuttle for whatever.
I think
you go spend 2 days on the space station.
I could do 2 days. Yeah, I think I could do that.
I don't know how long it takes to get to the space station. I mean, it takes days to do, you know, the moon to landing. I don't think I could do it, man. Would you go into a submarine?
Wouldn't have.
Well, what are we talking about, though? I'm not talking about the Disney Adventure Cruise.
Oh.
I'm talking like, would you get on a nuclear sub and travel from one place to another for a couple days?
Ooh.
Right. And that's how I feel. That's underwater. I'm in space. I'm in the ultimate water. Look, there was a story. I actually think I heard it on Smodcast or something recently, or one of those shows, but about one of only four survivors when a sub went down. Only four men have ever survived when a sub has went down underwater. There's things designed to escape, kind of like how the Challenger, after the Challenger, they designed ways for them to bail out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta do it, but nobody's gonna live. Even if you bail, you're pretty much gonna die, you know?
Pretty much. You're like, you're fathoms deep underwater.
Well, even with these things, it's like only 100 feet. You know, you could be on 100 feet. They're not tested to these escape hatches or whatever. It was a really cool story. You should look it up. But basically, this guy back in the 40s was on a sub. He wasn't even really technically scheduled to be on the sub. And they were going somewhere, and they hit like a mine, an underwater mine, and it went down. He said he heard, he was in a makeshift bunk in a torpedo tube thing, and he heard the loud explosion, and the thing went down fast, and he ran around trying to find guys, and he found a couple guys and got them out first. Said he took a swig of what he named the alcohol, whatever it was, and then went out the tube himself. And he said when it was designed to be 100 feet, and when he looked at the gauges, it was like 270 feet. So he found out later that the gauges were broken and he was only about 100 feet down. But he said going up, you know, his chest was killing him stuff. But he gets out, he pops out, and it's nighttime, and they were near some Greek islands. So he could see the island. So he swam to it, and all the other guys he helped get out, he never saw any of them. So for like 9 months, I think it was, the people on this island were hiding him for like 9 months, keeping him safe.
Shit.
And finally he ends up getting picked up and carried onto another sub, which I would like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Anyway, he died in like 1989 or something like that. And people didn't believe him because he was known for kind of being a storyteller, and there was no proof that he was on this sub. And they're like, nobody believed his story. Well, like 4 years or something like that after he died, a team of underwater guys like went down and found the sub. And they actually explored the sub and actually found the bottle of alcohol, the exact brand he said he took a swig out of. They found the makeshift bunk. They found all this stuff to prove what he said was true. Anyway, long way of saying, man, I just don't know, man. Up in outer space. Like, if it was like the Starship Enterprise, chill, yeah. But like, you see these little confined areas.
Yeah.
I'm not claustrophobic. I mean, I am to a small degree. I think everybody is.
Mm.
Like, I could never go spelunking. Hell no. Couldn't do it. Yeah, could not do it. Crawling around in a cave in these tight little spots with, like, no lights. You've been in a cave and turned all the lights out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't no way in hell. Imagine the guys who early spelunked who had, like, freaking kerosene. But I don't think I could be in deep space in these little tiny...
Speaking of which, they just recently had, like, washing machines installed in the space station.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good for them. They can wash their clothes now and don't stink.
Well, they used to like burn up, you know, like used underwear in the atmosphere while coming down.
That's awesome. Dude, you know that the people up in the space station are nuts.
They have
to be. Meet them, they're crazy.
Oh, and, God, yeah.
You know, like, hey, woo!
I've been in space.
Guess what? We just saw Hancock for the first time. Really? You guys like the new Harry Potter book? What's that? You know,
what's that?
Want to play some Scrabble? What? Yeah, that joke's funny. What?
Where's the beef?
No, though. I don't think I could. Like I said, if it was like, there's too many songs like Space Oddity.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
We must just stop.
Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on.
1, 2.
It's 10.
10, 9. And I'm a fan of Bowie.
Take your talk. Protein pills and put your helmet on. This is ground control to Major Tom.
We did it again. Nice.
This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in the most peculiar way. And the world looks very different today. For here am I floating in my tin can. Far from the world. Planet Earth is blue and there's nothing I can do. Dance, 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 dance.
That was fun. But in the song, he dies.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't, but he does. In that song, he dies because they, you know.
It's implied.
Ground control to Major Tom. You know, there's something, wrong, blah, blah, blah. You know. Yeah, they lose him.
Yeah. It's sad.
Right. But then, you know, yeah, later, they did the other, did the song called Major Tom. You don't know Major Tom?
That was it. Okay.
No. Well, no, no, Bowie didn't do Major Tom. It was, can't think of the guy's name.
Was it Ziggy Stardust?
On to Major Tom. 4, 3, 2, 1. Earth below.
Oh, drifting, gotcha.
Falling, floating away.
Who did this?
I can't think of his name. It was a dude. I can find out real quick. But yeah, that was kind of like his, I'm coming home, said Major Tom. So I think it was one of those things. I love the song Major Tom, but I think it would like bug the crap out of.
It would bug me.
Out of the dude. Anyway, yeah, so I want to read this. So Major Tom on Wikipedia. Shiny Toy Guns did a version of it, of Major Tom, which is really good. Peter Schilling, that's who did it originally. Peter Schilling, that's the guy's
name. Ooh, that's Major Tom? She's
no,
cute.
That's some Wikipedia chick, and she's like 15.
Oh, well, now I feel creepy and old.
I want to read this real quick. I'm going to read this real quick. Okay. Major Tom is a fictional astronaut created by David Bowie, heard in his songs Space Oddity, Ashes to Ashes, and Halo Space Boy. Bowie's own interpretation of the character evolved throughout his career. 1969 Space Oddity depicts an astronaut who casually slips the bonds of a crass and material world to journey beyond the stars. In the 1980 song Ashes to Ashes, Bowie interprets Major Tom as an oblique autobiographical symbol for himself. Major Tom is described as a junkie strung out in heaven's high, hitting an all-time low.
That's Bowie, all right.
This lyric was interpreted as a play on the title of Bowie's 1977 album, Low, which charted his withdrawal following his drug abuse in America. A short time later, there is another reversal of Major Tom's original withdrawal, turning outwards or towards space. Other major artists who have featured Bowie's character include Peter Schilling in his Major Tom Coming Home, remade by the Shiny Toy Guns in 2009, and William Shatner in 2011. Major Tom by Earth Below Us in 2010. I'm a Soldier by Stefan. Miss Major Tom by KIA. Somewhere by Tanya Ball. Rocket by Def Leppard. Rocket is not about Major Tom. Rocket, play it. Rocket's about music. Anyway. And Rain or Shine by Five Star, among others. Due to some similarities in Elton John's Rocket Man, some presume this song might also be an allusion to Major Tom. In fact, Bowie made the connection during concerts, calling out during the song, Oh Rocket Man. So there you go.
But yeah, Major Tom by Peter Schilling is kind of like a. It says it's unofficial, but it's pretty much the same thing anyway. Because in Space Oddity, you know, he got caught and you know something bad happened.
Yeah.
The engines wouldn't respond, man. Tom's gone, and then Peter Schilling actually recorded the original song in German, and then they re-released it in English. And it's pretty much telling kind of a reverse story kind of thing. I don't know. But, yeah, there you go. So I thought it was really cool, the Veger probe. I'm pretty hip on that whole thing. But, no, I
couldn't. It's pretty awesome.
I couldn't do the space thing, man. It kind of freaks me out. I watched Apollo 18 this week. It's the, you don't know about the found footage in space thing. The secret Apollo 18 mission where they went to space and something bad happened.
Yeah.
I get it, and it was supposed to be kind of creepy, and it did have a creepy vibe, but overall the movie's, it's filmed like it was, it's 1978, I think it's supposed to take place, so it's filmed to look like it was filmed with cameras that they had.
Back in 78?
And the whole thing was done like the two astronauts on the planet, the one guy up in the like thing floating around, and I'm sorry, the planet, they were on the moon, and Houston, so it was like, yeah, it was kind of drawn out and boring in the end. Creep vibe, yes, was there, definitely. But, yeah, overall, it just didn't really do much for me. Well, you know, it was okay. I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me. But
talk about crazy. I mean, imagine being an astronaut in, like, the early 1960s.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Well, there's a whole thing in this that I kind of liked, where they get to the moon and they find a Russian... lunar lander, like where cosmonauts had made it to the moon, and they didn't think, you know, they're like, what's going on here? And then they end up finding the body of one of the cosmonauts, and they're trying to figure out what happened there. And that whole aspect was cool. But the whole space race was, you know, that's why some people doubted, we didn't go to the moon. It seems weird to me to not believe that.
Yeah.
Plus, the Mythbusters proved it. All the evidence where people say it was faked. And the Mythbusters went over it pretty thoroughly. Did you ever see that episode?
No.
Really good. Well, they tried to fake it. And they could come really close in a lot of things, but they couldn't get anything exact. And then people would say things like, well, this is impossible to happen on the moon. There's shadows. There was this shadow cast when they took this picture and this and that. And the Mythbusters showed how all that was possible. They like reenacted it to the degree that, that's how it worked. Oh, the flag's waving in the wind. There shouldn't be any wind. But the flag wasn't waving in the wind. It's just...
formed that way, isn't it?
Well, when they first put it up, I mean, the flag moves a little.
Mm-hmm.
It just hasn't set. And when it sets, it sets. I don't know. You should watch that episode of The Mythbusters.
Really I should.
Good. Because, again, they had no... we believe, you know... well, they do believe that it really happened, but they... it's just one Mythbusters stuff, you know? Let's see if we can prove that this was faked. And they
could. I like The Mythbusters.
I love The Mythbusters. One of our geek babes of the week was Carrie Byron.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know if it ever happened to go. No, I just don't think I could do it. Again, if it was like a
that'd be a tough one.
If it was a Starship Enterprise kind of thing, yeah, I could do that, but I couldn't go up in one of them little tiny
Enterprise. I mean, compared to like what we got now is like a cruise ship. You know, it's
yeah, and they've got.
Holodecks.
Holodecks.
God.
Dude, how much time would you waste in a holodeck?
Oh, my God.
Where's KC? He's in the holodeck again. Oh, you can't get him out of there.
Oh, God, no. I would live there. I would retire there.
Did that not ever drive you nuts? It's like they always showed the holodeck, and nobody's in there just with like, you know, like they never open the holodeck doors. There's like 16 hot, naked Lieutenant Uhuras and freaking,
you know, it's funny because they did. There was this,
there was awkward. This sci-fi. Hold on, how awkward would that be? I know they didn't have it in the original Star Trek, but somebody walks in the holodeck and it's like Bones with like Lieutenant Uhura and he's and the Nurse Chapel, and they walked in like, ooh, awkward. And Spock, it's got Chapel, Uhura, and Spock. Fuck naked.
And I'll be one of the red shirts who walk in.
Damn it, Captain. This is really awkward. Or better yet, it's like the new one. It's like you walk in on freaking Captain Picard and it's like
naked Worf, and he's got like Data equipped as a sex doll. is that Wesley in the corner?
Oh,
Picard, brother, we gotta talk.
You're a sick man, Picard.
Yeah, you're gross, dude. What's wrong with you, man? You should just get out of here.
Is he gone?
Or you shut the door? Yeah, it always irritated me, though. And then, you know, and they got the food replicator. They're always like, tea. Like, large pizza, cheese-covered french fries, with some chicken wings.
I would try to like, stump it. I would like some chicken and waffles from Roscoe's.
Damn.
Damn, it's good.
It's like, it's good. Yeah, I mean...
White Castles, now!
It just cracks me up. You see the future and nobody's fat. Bullshit. You got holodecks and food replicators.
Oh, my God.
Everybody would look like Wally. Is all I'm saying.
I would just be floating my 500-pound ass in the holodeck, eating nothing but greasy food.
Oh, wow.
Maybe another minute.
Well, we always joked and said we wanted to film a movie or a short film called The Fattest Jedi. Because if you had Jedi powers, you'd be fat. Because you'd just be sitting on the couch like, I want a beer. Reach your hand out and beer would fly across the TV. You know, it'd be on the wrong channel. You'd just touch your forehead, like, click.
Here, wait, I got a picture I got to show you of a fat Jedi.
And for reals?
For reals.
A real fat Jedi?
Let's see.
Picture
let's
of a fat Jedi.
Yeah.
Give me the picture. Here's the picture.
Damn, it's still loading.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, let me try this.
What is it?
Don't laugh when you see it. It's funny.
Where are we looking here?
It's at Geekology.
Geekology. That was that song by Paula Abdul. Okay, now what am I looking up?
All right. Let's see. Let's see. I have to go back to the older post.
Oh, shishy. You got them Boom Boom Pals instant party vest with integrated 8-inch subwoofer. Man loses thumb, has replaced with big toe. Okay. We're just deal with not having a thumb, dude. Dude, I've seen this thing about the world's fattest insect all over the place.
Oh, here we go. Fat Jedi.
I know him. I probably do.
He does look familiar for some reason. Just
hey, if we didn't tell you guys, you should go check us out, pennycult.org. I've been playing with the site a little bit. The first thing you might notice over there is, links to our other shows. But on top of that, there is a new blogs page. Now, my blog is up there. I do a show called I write a blog called Taking Back Masculine, and it is the first is up there. But what we hope to do with Taking Back Masculine is it's going to be a weekly blog, and I want to learn the art of being a real man. And so what I'm hoping is to drag these guys with me on some crazy adventures from learning to change the fluids in our cars to going and learning how beer is made to learning how to properly groom ourselves and to dress like a man and in a good way, smell like a man, and to take back the art of chivalry, to hold doors open for ladies, to pull out chairs, to...
And to pull out.
Yes, that too.
Very important.
But we want to take back the art of being a real man, of being chivalrous, and of being what a man used to be. So we're going to go learn. We're going to learn how to use tools and how to fix things.
We're going to work with men and eat with men and drink with men and...
Have sex with women.
Women.
But that's Taking Back Masculine. I just realized it's back masculine, so it sounds like back masking. Anyway.
What is back?
When you play an album backwards. And
okay. I thought it was some weird masking game.
Our friend Mike he's blogging as well, and we're going to put links to that on there as well. And you're going to start a blog at some point,
yes.
Correct? And we'll put links to that up there as well. Do you know what your blog is called or anything? Have you even?
I worked on it a little bit a while back. I want to get back into it. It's more of a Cincinnati blog.
Well, that's okay. If you live in Cincinnati, it'll be cool for you. And if you just want to know a little bit, because we're into learning about other cities, maybe other people are as well.
Yes.
But there'll be links to all of it
mm-hmm.
on there.
So you can go over and check that out as well. Listen to our other shows and write us. You can write us. I'm Jay at pennycult.org.
I'm KC at pennycult.org.
Or you can just email geek at pennycult.org.
Or you can tweet us at pennycult or on Twitter.
You can find us on Facebook. Jay Caudill. J-A-Y Caudill.
Or you can Google us and say pennycult anything and find some weird stuff about us.
With that, I think we're going to go out tonight. We're going to go out on a band I've been listening to a crap ton lately. I can't help it, and I love them.
Okay.
And we're going to go out on some Electric Light Orchestra tonight.
Ah, good choice.
So enjoy this fun track from Electric Light Orchestra. And remember, here at the Geek and News,
the geek shall inherit the earth.
Night, everybody.
Night, night.
The song takes a second. Then it comes in really awesome. I'm a big Electric Light Orchestra Jeff Lynne fan.
The vision stops singing my mind. The early dawn on the shades of time.
I'm kind of surprised they go with the Christmas stuff. With some of the Christmas stuff.
It's not Christmas yet. I don't have any of the Christmas stuff.
Yeah, I think you'll like this CD.
This is off Light Years, the very best of Electric Light Orchestra. It's like a, almost 40 of their songs. You know. I've always been a huge fan of the ELO. Alright, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Want even more of the awesomeness? Then check us out online at pennycult.org. Pennycult, stick that in your ear.